From claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt.
EWTN Radio presents The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill.
Welcome to The Miracle Hunter Radio Show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm The Miracle Hunter. People ask me all the time, who's my favorite miracle-working saint? And I always say Padre Pio, the great Capuchin friar from Italy. And of course, many miracles have been attributed to his intercession, some pretty big and interesting ones over the years. And so we're so excited to present a new book to you. It's called Padre Pio and You. And we'll be talking today with the author, Mary O'Regan. She'll be joining us to talk about this brand new book that I know she's worked years on. And it's a great insight into the life and works of Padre Pio. We'll also be joined by Charlie McKinney, the president of Sophia Institute Press, to talk about a brand new offering called Sanctify. We'll see if when we talk to Charlie, what he says about this new service through Sophia Institute Press, if it's intended to make saints. At least it offers people access to all the great works of Sophia Institute Press in a digital form. So we'll be excited to check in with Charlie later in the show. Check out my series, They Might Be Saints, every week on EWTN, but this week we've got an episode on Bishop Frederick Barriga. Trekking across Michigan's wilderness earned him the nickname the Snowshoe Priest, but his heroic virtue bringing the gospel to Native Americans and immigrant miners may earn Bishop Frederick Barriga sainthood. And this is one of my all-time favorite episodes, and I do know that they have a miracle that they're examining for Bishop Barriga that could boost him from the stage of venerable that he's currently at. To be blessed. So we're excited about that coming soon for the Bishop Barriga cause. But check that one out on Sunday, September 28th at 1:30 p.m. Central Time. My other series, of course, is Explore with the Miracle Hunter on Saturday, October 4th at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. The episode on Paray-le-Monial in France is here. And so it's a visit to Paray-le-Monial in France, where St. Margaret Mary Ellicoque first experienced dramatic visions of Jesus' Sacred Heart. I explore the origins of this cherished devotion. Check this one out. And every week on Saturdays at 5:30 p.m. Central, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and that is Explore with the Miracle Hunter. Later in the show, we're going to be looking at the Might Be Saint of the Day. For today, we've got Blessed Lorenzo de Repafrata from Italy from 1373 to 1456 is when he lived. And the 365 Days with Mary project looks at the apparition to St. Jerome Emiliani in Treviso in Italy in the year 1511. And the question of the week, have there been non-Catholic stigmatics? That's a tricky one. I'll see what I can do to answer that one later in the show. Let's take a look at the miracle news. We do this every week where we talk about the miracles happening around the world and those things that relate to miracles. A few years ago, I was able to travel to Naples in Italy to see this with my own two eyes, but it's happened again. The blood of St. Januarius is said to liquefy. And the miracle of liquefaction of the blood of St. Januarius, or San Gennaro, was announced in Naples on September 19th with the centuries-old relic once again offering what the abbot there called an invitation to stake everything on trust in God. Quote, "We are delighted to announce that the relic has been found completely liquid," said De Gregorio, the abbot of the Treasury Chapel of Naples Cathedral. And the tradition is the announcement is accompanied by the waving of a white handkerchief by one of the members of the Treasury of St. Januarius. And Cardinal Domenico Battaglia, the Archbishop of Naples, he presided over the morning mass, then displayed the vial containing the patron saint's blood before everyone there at the celebration. And from the high altar, after showing the vial to the concelebrants, the archbishop descended amongst the faithful, and liturgical chants accompanied this demonstration. The cardinal himself was visibly moved at the beginning of the celebration, his words focused on the wars currently affecting the world, in particular in the situation in Gaza. And during the Mass, there was also a video message from Father Gabriel Romanelli, the pastor of Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza, thanking the cardinal and the people of Naples for their spiritual and material support. And in the homily, he touched on the ongoing war in Gaza. And but this is the big day for St. Januarius. Of course, every year on his feast day, the blood liquefies, except on the years that it doesn't. And usually when it doesn't, it spells some trouble for the city of Naples or for the world, We talk about times of war, of coronavirus, other situations, the eruptions of Mount Vesuvius. So all the Neapolitans are cheering in a big way for that blood to liquefy. Strange but true. Check that one out. You can check out my episode on Naples if you go to EWTN On Demand. Look for Explore with the Miracle Hunter. Click on the Naples episode, and you can find out all you want about this fascinating and strange phenomena that relates to the blood of St. Januarius. Let's check out Catholic Pub Trivia. We do this every week where we ask a trivia question and give out a prize to an emailer that writes in the fastest with the correct answer. People who know me, my friends, know that I love trivia. You might find me at some bar some night playing pub trivia, but this is Catholic Pub Trivia. And so for this week, or last week's question, we asked the question, in which approved Marian apparition does Mary hold the Christ child? And there's a couple answers. When we talk about approved apparitions, of course, there are ones that have been approved by tradition, but as far as ones that have been investigated and approved by the Church, I can really only think of two. When we talk about Our Lady of Šiluva in Lithuania in 1608, I was just there not too long ago, and Gierzwald in Poland in 1877, when the Virgin Mary appeared to two girls, Justina and Barbara, and she was seated on a throne surrounded by angels, holding the infant Christ, and the child was placed on Mary's left knee in some accounts. And so that is the Gierzwald apparition as well as Šiluva, two of the famous, from the same part of the world, really, famous apparitions of Mary, where Jesus was also present. So the question for this week is, we're talking today about Padre Pio, who famously bore the stigmata. And so who is the last person to be declared a saint, blessed, or venerable to bear the wounds of Christ? Again, we know some servants of God who have been claimed to exhibit the wounds of Christ, but we're talking about venerables, blesseds, or saints, the last person to bear the wounds of Christ, who has been recognized by the Church. If you think you know that answer, want to win the prize, the image of the faces of Mary, send me an email to questions@miraclehunter.com, and we'll see if you're the fastest, and answers and winners will be posted on the show page on miraclehunter.com. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Mary O'Regan about her brand new book, Padre Pio and You. Stay with us for that.
Back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. I get this question a lot. People ask me, who do I pray to? I'm always talking about the saints and talking about sainthood causes and how it all works and talking about miracles. And when people need miracles, who do they pray to? And there's always one answer that I give, and that is I pray to Padre Pio. He is my go-to saint, the great miracle worker, the Capuchin friar, and his feast day is upon us. And we're so grateful to be joined today by Mary O'Regan. She's the author of a brand new book, Padre Pio and You, An Epic Story of Spiritual Fatherhood. Welcome to the program today, Mary.
Thank you very, very much for the honor of having me on your show, Michael.
Well, it's great to have you on. It's always fun to meet another O apostrophe person, so we've got that in common. But when we talk about Padre Pio, he's this great miracle-working saint. I think some of the stories related to him, both in life and in death, are absolutely amazing. And he's such a great example for us that we need to turn to and emulate, but also to seek him out for his intercession. So he's got that dual capability as a saint. And when we talk about this book, I know Padre Pio and You, this is your work that you've been working on for some years now. Talk a little bit about the genesis of the project. What got you going writing about Padre Pio?
He appeared to me when I was 14 in his cell. And there was an apparition of Padre Pio in my life. And then a few years later, he appeared again as a glorified saint. So he introduced himself to me personally but I don't think that's so much special as special needs. And everyone who's listening to this, me, ask Padre Pio for his help and his intercession. And I'd had a long history of being his spiritual daughter privately, and I felt a call to give back, Michael, to give back in some small way. If I could write this book, that it would bring other people to belief in Padre Pio, in our stigmatist friar who offered up the pains of crucifixion for us poor sinners. If this could be something that would bring other people into the fold, oh, please, Jesus, may it be so.
Wonderful. And of course, Padre Pio is a well-beloved saint in the United States, in Italy, and around the world. He's one of the great saints, great miracle-working saints specifically, that we have in our Catholic Church. And he had so many people, his spiritual sons and daughters, people who he wrote letters to during his life and guided them and corresponded with them. When we talk about the letters of Padre Pio, how did his letters influence how you frame this book?
Well, Padre Pio talks about Dark Night of the Soul. The letters that we have are essentially about the fact that Padre Pio used to go through a lot of darkness and dryness before a mystical ascent. And he would feel that the Lord had rejected him. So the letters are about his dark night of the soul. Padre Pio is this young friar. He gives his life entirely to the Lord. And he's actually very surprised by the things that happen through him. Very surprised. And he documents the fact that the soul has a graduation and that the Lord takes away a certain light so that he can give a purer light, a light that's better than the light that he's taken away. So you can only really understand Padre Pio if you know that he has a mystical ascent by way of darkness and dryness, and then a new gift is given afterwards. And everyone who's been through this, we know what it's like. We've been through darkness and dryness. And we have to just trust the Lord and say to the Lord, I trust you. I give you my soul. If you're using darkness and dryness, it has only a good purpose if the Lord is doing it.
And when we talk about some of the great spiritual gifts, the mystical phenomena that surrounded Padre Pio, of course, he is well known to the world as this stigmatic priest. Talk a little bit about the stigmata, what Padre Pio experienced that first day and then for the next 50 years of his life, and how that influenced him.
Well, Michael, Padre Pio was first and foremost a victim soul. So he gave himself over to the Lord and said, on the day of his ordination, I give you my life as a canvas to do what you will. I will take on that suffering. So initially he offers his suffering for the poor souls in purgatory and for the sinners of this world, which include, very, very much include me. And the Lord then takes Padre Pio totally at his will, at his word. And that's everyone who's listening to this. You know that the Lord will take you at your word if you give yourself as a victim soul. He didn't counsel people to offer themselves as that. He always said that, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that will guide us to be whether we want to be a victim soul or not, because our Lord is always very respectful of our will. That's why we're given free will. And Padre Pio becomes a priest, and not even a month later, he's given the stigmata by way of Our Lady and Our Lord appearing to him and giving him the wounds. But he wants them to be invisible. He finds it absolutely excruciating. That's the part about Padre Pio's stigmata. Even though he was bearing the wounds all the time, it was the psychological import that really hurt him very, very much, because he didn't want to be compared to the Lord.
Yeah, very well put. We're talking today with Mary O'Regan about a brand new book, Padre Pio and You, from Sophia Institute Press. It's a great new book out just in time, of course, with his feast day upon us now. And in addition to stigmata, there are various other stories of him receiving visions or healing miracles, people from traveling even from across the ocean from the United States to see him, and incredible stories. And one of the very interesting aspects of Padre Pio that I've heard so many different stories in your book recounts these as well, these various stories of bilocation. And there was a story of a very first bilocation at the age of 17. Tell us a little bit about that occurrence.
And that was his first spiritual daughter. So he's 17 years old. He's praying in the chapel, and suddenly he finds himself, he's praying in the chapel in southern Italy. So Padre Pio was a southern Italian, and that causes trouble later in his life because people kind of look down on him. You know, there's a very, very big dichotomy between the southern Italians and the northern Italians. But Michael, he found himself immediately at the very, very top of northern Italy, in Udine. And he couldn't understand how he was simultaneously in the southern friary and also in the top, the very, very top of Italy's boot. So if you think about Italy as a big boot, you've got this kind of rim at the, at, just as you wear a boot, the very rim, the very top of Italy is like a boot. And he found himself there in a palace for a noble family. And Our Lady suddenly appeared with him and said, as she always did, Our Lady accompanied Padre Pio almost consistently, totally during his life. And Our Lady appeared to him and said, ah, here we're in the palace and the man is dying and his wife is about to give birth to your first spiritual child. She's a rough gem, but I want you to polish her and make her brilliant because I want to adorn myself with her. Again, these things are kind of sometimes a bit outside my level of understanding, but Our Lady wanted the little girl that was being born in the palace that night to be Padre Pio's first daughter, his first spiritual daughter. And he said he used to always refer to her, and she was called Giovanna. He used to always refer to her as the firstborn of my heart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely amazing. We're talking today with Mary O'Regan about Padre Pio and You, a brand new book from Sophia Institute Press. And of course, we could talk all day about Padre Pio, whether it be about his fighting the devil, you might say, or the means he gave his spiritual children to assist them on the path to salvation, or the need to go to confession and show true contrition and triumph over corruption. These are all themes that find themselves in your book. When we look at your book, Padre Pio and You, and this work that you've spent years and years of your life crafting this book, and now it's available in time for the feast day of Padre Pio, which is upon us now, what is your great hope for people who maybe know a little bit about Padre Pio, but through your book might have their eyes opened up to him in a whole new way?
My hope is that they see the miracle in their own conversion. They see that coming to Padre Pio and coming to what he tells us about, especially the fact that he talks about the Sacred Heart of Jesus and about the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And my hope is that they will just come to him. And I'm not going to lie. It has been a very, very difficult process to write that book. And I felt it was beyond me a lot of the time, Michael. But I just had this just burning desire in my heart, in my little Irish heart. There was a passion to help other people to say, look, he will affect the miracle of your own conversion. And there is a huge number of physical conversions. I had a physical conversion in my teens. I was run over by a truck and I was saved miraculously. And then I was saved again in my 20s from a very serious illness when the glove of Padre Pio was put on me and the illness disappeared. The doctors found nothing. And thank God for all these things. Thank God for the miracles that the Lord has worked through Padre Pio. But the greatest miracle of all is our conversion of our soul to the Christ, to the Christ child that appeared with Padre Pio often. You know, the Christ child used to appear, Padre Pio used to come in at Christmas, and people would see Jesus in his arms, the little baby.
Absolutely amazing. Well, we're so grateful to you Mary O'Regan, for your book, Padre Pio and You. It's been a work of years and years that you've put into this, and I encourage people to pick this one up. People who love Padre Pio, people who have know a little bit and want to find out more, this is a great book from Sophia Institute Press for people to find out. Where can people go to pick up your book, either at your website, your blog, or Sophia Institute? Tell us a little bit how people can find this book.
If I may be bold, Michael, and I'm a wild Irish girl, so if I may be a little bit wild, ye out there who are listening to this, go on Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, go on Sophia Press, and you're going to find an absolute treasure trove. Your minds are going to be blown, because I'm so grateful that Sophia, it happened exactly as Padre Pio told me it would happen, but I didn't quite believe it, because people were saying to me, like, how are you going to publish the book? And I just thought, well, maybe if I publish it, you know, anonymously, or maybe online, or self-published, that was my hope. And people were saying, oh, you should think about Sophia. Michael, I was thinking to myself, Sophia are just so much better than ever I would ever. I never thought I was good enough for Sophia. It was actually Patrick O'Hearn who said to me, you should go with Sophia. Give them the book, let them have a look at it. And they were like, yeah, they were game to publish Padre Pio and You.
Wonderful.
So if you go on to Sophia Press, S-O-P-H-I-A, or I-A, as we say in Ireland, and you're going to find an absolute treasure trove, because I think the Holy Spirit is leading a number of people to publish with Sophia at this moment in time that are the apostles over this time. We've got Gabriel Castillo, The Power of the Rosary, and Patrick O'Hearn, I already mentioned, wrote a fantastic book on exorcisms. He also wrote a book earlier this year about the truth about hell. And Padre Pio, I gave some of the research that I didn't put into this book, I gave that. To Patrick O'Hearn for this, because Padre Pio had things to say about hell. Padre Pio had a few things to say about that place.
That's right. Well, we're so grateful to you, Mary O'Regan, for this book, Padre Pio and You, available from Sophia Institute Press in time for the feast day of Padre Pio. Thank you so much for joining us on today's program.
Thank you so much, Michael. It's been an absolute honor. And it's always a great, 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 great privilege to hold forth on Padre Pio.
God bless you.
Pray for us. Pray for us, Padre Pio. Pray for us. Intercede for us, for your spiritual children. We want to join you where you are.
God bless. That was Mary O'Regan, a new book, Padre Pio and You, available from Sophia Institute Press. Go to sophiainstitute.com or anywhere Catholic books are sold to find out more about Mary O'Regan and her blog. The Path Less Taken is the name of her blog, but we're so grateful to talk with Mary on today's program. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be looking at the question of the week. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter Radio Show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Hey, I love getting your questions. People write in from around the world with questions about miracles happening in today's world and those that have happened centuries ago. And I love getting the email questions, and I've got a pretty strange email inbox, as you might imagine. But I also like answering the questions in person. I travel around maybe 20 different parishes or conferences or events, and I talk about miracles, usually Eucharistic miracles or Marian apparitions, or how the Catholic Church investigates the supernatural, or how saints are made. And I always leave it open to questions at the end, and it's so interesting to hear what people are thinking about. For people who would like me to speak at your parish or your event, you can go to miraclehunter.com and click on the contact tab and send me a message that way. And here's a question from a recent talk that I gave. And the question it was, have there been any non-Catholic Roman stigmatics? And so it's a good question. And many of the mystical phenomena that's been claimed throughout the world, we would say that By and large, this is a Catholic phenomenon. Maybe 99% of cases of these strange things that happen, these miracles, are all Roman Catholic. But there are some other examples. And so we have this example of Sister Magdalena de la Cruz. Of course, she's that Spanish mystic and French nun. And unfortunately, the story, and she lived in the end of the 1400s, 1500s, she reportedly displayed the stigmata and had other mystical phenomena. But as the story goes, there was a great controversy that many of her experiences were demonic in origin, as it turned out. She's one of the very interesting, scary stories that we have in our Catholic Church, Sister Magdalena de la Cruz. So, unfortunately, this is a case I would still put in the category of Catholic stigmata, but it was inspired, perhaps, or affected by the devil. And then there's another case, Johann Jetzer. I think he was from the early 16th century. He was a Swiss lay brother and tailor, and he was connected to a Dominican monastery in Switzerland at the time of the Reformation, and he claimed to receive the wounds of Christ and visions of the Virgin Mary, but later investigation found that it was a hoax orchestrated by the friars, possibly to attract pilgrims. So another fake one, or not real one, we might say, and definitely not Catholic at that time. And then there's cases like Annelise Michel. You probably know that one, the woman in the 1950s, 60s, 70s. She is the famous exorcism case. There were a couple of movies made about her, and it was reported that she developed marks on her hands and feet and believed by some to be the stigmata. But of course, it was later ruled as a story of medical neglect during exorcisms, and she may have self-inflicted those wounds. So still technically Catholic, or in the Catholic worldview anyway, although this was, of course, a case of a hoax or an exorcism with the devil. So again, not all that Catholic. And then there are unconfirmed cases within the Pentecostal or charismatic Protestant groups in the United States, Africa, Latin America, where different individuals have claimed to bear Christ-like wounds during these spiritual experiences, but we don't have a lot of documentation in the same way that you might find a Catholic saint being documented. So we have different examples of lay preachers or visionaries and revival movements who have claimed these things, but there's not a lot of proof that any of them were real. So when we talk about, have there been non-Roman Catholic stigmatics? I don't know, maybe. Not a lot, if any. And some of these cases are borderline anyway, and pretty strange. But thank you so much for your question. And if you have a question for the Miracle Hunter, you can send me an email to questions@miraclehunter.com, and maybe I'll be answering your question on the air next week. Let's take a look at the 365 Days with Mary Project. We do this every week where we look at the Marian devotion of the days that lines up exactly to the day's date. We all know Fatima May 13th or Guadalupe February 11th or December 12th or Lady of Guadalupe. But believe it or not, for each and every day of the calendar year, there's a different Marian devotion that lines up perfectly to the day's date from somewhere around the world. And so for today's date, September 27th, we've got the apparition to St. Jerome Emiliani in Treviso in Veneto in Italy in the year 1511. So when St. Jerome Emiliani was still very young, the administrator of the fortress of Castel Nuovo, he was jailed after an enemy attack. And in the solitude of the prison, he sought the help of God, so he began to pray, turning to the Holy Virgin Mary. Liberation of prisoners, promising that if he returned free, he would go on pilgrimage to the Shrine of Treviso. In fact, he obtained a release from captivity and the certain death sentence through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, who appeared to him on September 27th, 1511, and released him from the chains. Then Our Lady then proceeded to protect him miraculously on his way to Treviso, and this allowed him to cross unharmed through armies in conflict to fulfill his vow. And that's today's 365 Days with Mary Project, the apparition to St. Jerome Emiliani. For more information on this fascinating devotion, or any of the hundreds of other Marian devotions from around the world, you can go to 365dayswithmary.com, pick up the book, download the app from the iOS App Store, or join the Facebook page where you can join as many as 10,000 other followers who get a new title of Mary each and every day of the calendar year. So let's take a look at Sainthood News. We do this every week as well, where we talk about those people coming down the pipeline, those people who go from servant of God to venerable to blessed and to saint. And we have a new saint that's coming right up. Pope Francis had approved the canonization of Blessed Ignatius Milolaion, an Armenian Catholic archbishop martyred during the Armenian Genocide in the year 1915. And the canonization ceremony is scheduled for October 19, 2025 at the Vatican. And Milolaion, who was beatified by Pope John Paul II in 2001, is remembered for his deep faith and courage during one of history's darkest periods. And his canonization was announced following a meeting between the Pope and Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, the prefect for the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints, and it highlights the Church's continued recognition of modern martyrs. Ignatius Milolaion was born in 1869 in what is now Turkey and became Archbishop of Mardin in 1911. And during the Ottoman Empire's campaign against Armenians, Milolaion was arrested along with hundreds of faithful. Despite being tortured and repeatedly pressured to convert to Islam, he remained unwavering in his Catholic faith, and witnesses recounted how he offered encouragement to fellow prisoners, led them in prayer, and forgave his persecutors before being executed by gunfire on June 11, 1915. His last words reportedly were a prayer of forgiveness and a declaration of faith in Christ. And that is the Sainthood News for today, the upcoming canonization of Blessed Ignatius Milolaion. Let's take a look at the might-be saint of the day. For today's day, we have Blessed Lorenzo of Rapafrata from Italy in the years 1373, and he died in 1456. Now, he was born to Italian nobility, and Lorenzo's family had a military history and a duty to protect the outer defenses of the city of Pisa. And Lorenzo, however, was drawn to the religious life, and he began studying for the priesthood. And while a deacon, he joined the Dominicans at the convent of St. Catherine of Pisa in 1396. He was a priest. He worked to reform the Dominicans and encouraged his brother friars in their studies, prayer life, and devotion to the rule. And Lorenzo served as a novice master, spiritual director, and preacher, and he taught theology. His novices and students include St. Antonius of Florence, Blessed Peter Capucci, Blessed Fra Angelico, and the artist Fra Benedetto. He was the vicar general of the Journal of the Congregation and worked with the sick during plague outbreaks in the Italian cities of Pistola and Fabriano. And Father Lozano, Lorenzo, served for 60 years, lived a simple ascetic life, and was particularly devoted to the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. And he died in 1456 in Pistoia in Italy of natural causes, and miracles were reported at his tomb, and he was declared blessed in 1851 by Pope Pius IX. And that is today's might-be saint of the day. With one miracle, Blessed Lorenzo will become known as Saint Lorenzo. And for people who want to find out more about They Might Be Saints, my work with that, you can go to ewtnrc.com, the religious catalog, to pick up the book They Might Be Saints, or you can watch the series They Might Be Saints every week on EWTN. They Might Be Saints, Bishop Frederick Berga is the episode on September 28th at 1:30 p.m. And that episode, trekking across Michigan's wilderness, earned him the nickname the Snowshoe Priest. But his heroic virtue, bringing the support to Native Americans and immigrant minors, may earn Bishop Frederick Berga sainthood. Check that one out. They Might Be Saints, Bishop Frederick Berga, on Sunday, September 28th at 1:30 p.m. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Charlie McKinney about the launch of the new SOFA Institute Press offering, Sanctify. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Well, I think people ask this question a lot, or they at least should be asking the question a lot. How do I become a saint? And there's a brand new app that's out, and we hope that it leads people along that path, and that's called Saintify. And that is out from Sophia Institute Press. And it's a brand new service that's out that gives people access to all the incredible books and audio and content that Sophia Institute Press has made available all in one place. And so we're so excited today to talk with Charlie McKinney. He's the president of Sophia Institute Press, and he'll join us today to talk about this new offering called Saintify. Welcome to the program today, Charlie.
Thanks, Michael. It's very nice to talk to you.
It's great to have you on. And of course, being an author myself with Sophia Institute Press, I'm excited about this initiative and this new project. Tell us a little bit about how it came to be. Why the launch of Saintify?
Well, look, we are always looking for ways to get good, faithful Catholic content into the hands of those who are wanting to deepen their spiritual life, who are wanting to understand the writings of the saints. And, you know, we've done that for years and years, publishing, you know, close to 100 books per year. We're now distributing, you know, shipping out almost 2 million books every single year. And then several years ago, about 10 years ago, you know, we expanded into Catholic education and created religion textbooks, which is now the largest religion textbook in the country. And so one of the things that we've noticed over the past couple of years is how much people are listening to audiobooks now, especially young people. You know, a lot of young people today aren't necessarily picking up a book, but I was reading an article in Publishers Weekly that was talking about how many young people are listening to audiobooks rather than picking up a book. And it made me realize that we as Catholics are a little bit behind the ball in terms of getting our Catholic content into audiobooks. And so we decided that we were going to make a major push into that direction. And then we had the idea of, why don't we make it for one flat fee, less than you could buy a single audiobook, where you can consume as many audiobooks as you want for a flat fee every month. And so we got with all of our authors who were willing to work with us and collaborate on this. And then we launched Saintify, which for $12.99 a month, you can listen to as many audiobooks and access as many ebooks as you want, all you can consume for that one simple price. So that's how it came about.
Wonderful. And there's a website, saintify.com, I believe, that people can go to find out more.
Yeah, Saintify, Saintify.com. It's like Spotify, but Saintify. And yeah, it's all faithful content. We've got, you know, I know you're the Miracle Hunter. We've got a lot of content that's really focused on Our Lady and on miracles. Like, one of my favorite books that we've done is called The World Flower Prophecy, and it's on Our Lady of Guadalupe and how in the centuries before Our Lady of Guadalupe, there was a prophecy in Mesoamerica on it was called the World Flower Prophecy, and all of the folks in Mexico believed in this prophecy. So when Our Lady appeared on the Tilma and the flowers were there, all the ground was already laid for, you know, millions and millions of converts. And so, you know, books like this that are really unique, that are faithful, that help people realize God's hands in the world. You know, we've got hundreds of books like that, that we can make sure that, you know, anybody can access for, you know, that one low price.
Wonderful. And I think that, listeners of this show, they love, like you were mentioning, they love the books on saints and miracles and Mary. And in the Sophia Institute catalog, those books are well represented, those topics are well represented, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, we've got several books on Our Lady. And, you know, one of the things that are also working on is trying to, you know, we're in conversation with other publishers about inviting them to be part of Saintify as well, so that we can, you know, not just have the 200 or so books that we've created audiobooks and ebooks for, but, you know, to add hundreds and hundreds of books more. And in fact, we're going to be adding, you know, for all subscribers, 10 new books are going to be added every single month to keep it fresh. So that way, you know, we're going to constantly have new books that are, you know, being added on Our Lady. You know, one of the books that we're working on now is called Nothing Short of a Miracle by Patricia Treece. Mm-hmm. And it's a book that has, it just outlines a lot of the miracles by modern day saints like Solanus Casey and others, and or Andre Bessette. And it's just these amazing stories of God working in the world through modern hands. Many of these people who, you know, walked the earth at the same time we walked the earth. And, you know, so this is one of the books. It's not part of the first 200 that we're doing, but it's going to be part of the series of books that we're going to have coming out in the coming months.
Yeah, you know, it's one of my favorites. I have it on my bookshelf right behind me, Patricia Treese, one of the great ones. Yep.
Yeah, it's an amazing book. Maybe about 8 years ago when we were publishing that book, I was on an airplane and, I had it in, it was in a Word doc, and I was going through the manuscript, and there was a guy sitting next to me who, you know, was flying out to see his sister who had a, I can't remember what the situation was, but the lady needed a miracle. And so I pulled out the Andre Bessette chapter, and I just handed him all these loose, you know, these loose pages. And I said, you know, he was a fallen away Catholic. I'm like, read this, you know, hopefully this will inspire you to, you know, to pray and realize that God's hand is active in the world. And, you know, all you have to do is ask and have faith, and it may be granted if it's his will. So, you know, we've got a lot of books like that are just, you know, just have the potential to really change hearts and lead people to Christ. And, you know, the salvation of souls is what it's all about. That's what we're doing this for. And, you know, I hope and pray a project like Sanctify, you know, can do that.
Wonderful. We're talking today with Charlie McKinney, the president of Sophia Institute Press, about a brand new offering called Sanctify. People can go to sanctify.com for more information on this. And of course, it's a catchy name. Like you say, it's a derivative of Spotify, or it's similar to Spotify. But the idea is that people who read on these topics or spend time with these books produced by Sophia Institute Press or otherwise, that on these topics of spiritual importance, will grow closer to Christ. Talk a little bit about it being more than just a catchy name. What can people, how can it affect their spiritual life to engage with these important spiritual works?
Well, you know, I found myself in my own spiritual growth that there are certain books and types of books that I feel like the Lord is asking me to read at certain points, right? So at some point it might be, you know, the lives of the saints. At another point, it might be going deeper into prayer. Or, you know, it might be, you know, looking at some virtue that, you know, I don't, or addressing some vice that maybe I'm blind. I've got, you know, scales on my eyes and I don't see that I have. And I think one of the benefits of something like Sanctify is that you can dip into these things, you know, without putting any money down. Like, you don't have to buy the book and wait for it to, you know, instantly, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. You're paying for the one price, and see whether or not it touches your heart. If it's the sort of thing that the Lord is pulling you into now, if it's, you know, feeding you or addressing some need. And if it is, to be able to immerse yourself in that and to listen to that and hear what the Lord is telling you. And you don't have to take a chance on it. You know, it's, you've got hundreds of books right there available to you to fill, you know, see where the Lord is leading you. And to me, that's very exciting. And because we've got a breadth of, you know, a breadth of content in there, whether it be spiritual formation, spiritual direction, apologetics, church history, the writings of the saints, the lives of the saints, biographies, you know, it's all in there. That there's something in there for everybody, wherever they are on their spiritual journey, whether, you know, they're starting or whether they're, you know, 10 years in, there's something there for everybody.
Wonderful. Well, we've been talking today with Charlie McKinney about a new launch, Sanctify, from Sophia Institute Press. And this is a great new service that's available to people who love reading Catholic books and maybe those people who need to find inspiration in one way or another. And this is a great way through audiobooks, through an app, to be able to engage with those books that people might not pick up and sit down and read by the fireplace, but maybe whether it's in their car or otherwise, they might want to tune in to the authors or actors or voice actors or otherwise who present these great books in an audio format. Talk a little bit as we wrap up the show today, Charlie, about the way that people can access Sanctify, sign up for it. What's the process for people who want to get involved?
Yep, go to saintify.com, S-A-I-N-T-I-F-I.com. And from there, there are links for you to download the app on your phone. So you just want to go to that URL on your phone. You could download the app, and then you can sign in and get access at no cost. And we're going to have several books in there that are free, and you can just kind of test it out and see, you know, if you like what you see. And if you do, you can unlock everything. Over 200 audiobooks, over 300 ebooks, and we're going to have 10 new audiobooks and ebooks added every single month in perpetuity. And if you can pay monthly, so you could just try it for 1 month, $13, $12.99, or for $10.99 a month, you could buy a whole year. And the goal here is to provide you with as much Catholic content as possible, all you can consume for a very affordable price, frankly, less than you could buy a single audiobook for. Because what we're doing, this is a mission. You know, we're a nonprofit organization. The goal is the salvation of souls. And so everybody who's partnering with us on this is not just accessing content. They're helping us to develop more audiobooks and helping us fulfill our mission of delivering faithful Catholic content to the world.
Wonderful. Well, we're so grateful to you, Charlie McKinney, president of Sophia Institute Press, for joining us today to talk about this great new offering, Saintify. And I hope people check this one out. Thank you so much, Charlie, for joining us on today's program.
Thanks, Michael. God bless.
God bless. That was Charlie McKinney. Check this thing out, saintify.com. You'll be able to access some great Catholic content in a whole new way. We'll be excited to try that one out. And that's all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any of this episode or want to catch up on past episodes, you can go to ewtn.com/radio. Check out the audio archives or download the free EWTN app. I'd like to thank our guest today, Mary O'Regan, talking about her brand new book, Padre Pio and You, and Charlie McKinney, talking about the launch of Saintify. Check out my series, Explore the Miracle Hunter. This week, Pere Lemoniel airs on October 4th at 5:30 p.m. Central Time, and I visit Pere Lemoniel in France, where St. Margaret Mary Alacoque first experienced dramatic visions of Jesus' Sacred Heart. I explore the origins of this cherished devotion. And I'd like to thank you for joining me today on Miracle Hunter, where from claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt. Talk to you next week.